elementary kids, you guys can head out, and middle schoolers, you can meet back by the door there. I got to tell you guys, it's a privileged position to be like looking into the eyes of somebody who's being baptized and to see the sincerity and the emotion tied to that with somebody. So, man, what a blessed time for us today to celebrate that. Guys, today, the first Sunday of the year, I always give what we call the State of Wellspring Address. And last year when I stood before you on January 2nd of 2020, we really had no idea what we were in for, right? When I think back to 2020, Charles Dickens' opening line, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times," comes to mind for me. Obviously, people lost loved ones this year. Businesses suffered. Emotional and mental health took some serious hits in people's lives. But also because of the, in the midst of the uncertainties and suffering, there were also just extraordinary acts of kindness and generosity that you could tell stories about. And all that to say, in a group this large and people, you know, watching at home, our individual experiences with the events of 2020 probably varies quite a bit from person to person and family to family, but collectively as a church body, I just want to tell you how proud I am of the way many of you guys have been able to navigate this, and we've responded to the challenges that we've faced here. Because first of all, as you know, this year has required a ton of flexibility and patience and endurance and grace. Our board here at church has put in a lot of very long hours throughout this past year trying to make decisions. These are volunteers that serve and represent you guys, prayerfully considering the different options for the good of our church family, and I'm just so grateful for them. And so this morning, those of them that are here, if they would mind just standing real quick, and if we could just recognize you and thank you for your service. So go ahead and stand up. I know Dave is here, and Rob, and Brent, and Aaron. I don't know if Tony is here today, and Abby Winder as well. But can we just give them a round of applause real quick? When we meet once a month and you're coming back to the COVID conversation one more time and knowing that we're going to be here for a while, man, it gets a little tough, as you all know, if you've had to run a business or anything, make decisions. It's been a long year, so I was grateful to have those people in the trenches with me. I want to thank you guys, just our church body as a whole, because, you know, you've gotten emails from me multiple times this year with, now we're doing this, and now we're doing this, and this time we're doing this, and I just want to thank you. I can't say it's been 100%, but I would say it's been in the upper 90s of pretty supportive responses in general from you guys, and if you didn't have something nice today, I think a lot of you, just for being quiet, that was awesome, but your grace has been much appreciated this year as well. We're doing the best we can, right? Secondly, our staff has had to be incredibly flexible, so all of those changes that we've made to programming, so to speak, has meant that they've had to make constant adjustments, constantly had to change things on the fly. I've had to call volunteers, some of you guys, hey, can you switch this week, or who can be here, who's willing to be here, and trying to man our children's classrooms, and I'm really proud of the way that we pivoted on a lot of things. Especially this past summer, and still made some things happen. Our summer internship looked different, but we still had something. And I mean, we had like 20 kids, college kids, show up for that this summer, so it was still very impactful. We still had still had summer camp trips. So I appreciate all those folks. Could our staff people please just stand up and let us recognize you this morning as well? I know Brittany's in here, and Blair, and I don't know if Kenny's back there, and there's so many people, Dave and Kenzie. So thank you guys. I appreciate every one of you. Could you guys give them a round of applause? I also just want to give a couple special thank yous this morning. One would be to Stephanie and Sarah Burr and Kylie Newton. If you guys are here, if you guys could please stand. Those guys, Food for Kids kind of changed this summer. Kenzie and Sheila Gilbert, who you got to hear from, and Kenzie actually passed away a few weeks ago. Because of their health, COVID things kind of required them to step away from Food for Kids this summer. And those three really stepped in to keep Food for Kids going. We moved it to our property just a block away and continued to feed kids, the kids that would be willing to show up and be a part of summer stuff. So, but it was kind of their initiative and inspiration to kind of keep that thing moving that really kept the ball going. So thank you guys. I'm not sure it would have happened without you guys. So thank you. My last thank you is for the person that was probably the most pivotal person in our church this year, and that is Steve Jewell. So Steve did all of our Facebook Live stuff those Sundays when we weren't here. Sometimes it was me and Steve and the Holy Spirit, and we were here by ourselves staring into cameras and making something work for you guys at home to kind of put a patch on things for the time being. But I want to say thank you to Steve and his expertise in figuring all that out. And then also just thank you for Bethany and the four kids she was at home with while Steve was here. Thank you to her too. So you're awesome, Steve and Bethany. I appreciate you guys. Well, last January when I spoke to you guys, I proposed to you that our word for the year was going to be courage. And man, I was a prophet at that time. And I'm just so proud of the folks up here this morning showed a ton of courage, right? To stand in front of a group of people and talk about their faith at such a young age. So great job of carrying through with that. But for us as a church to be relatively healthy as the ministry going on here, our staff, and the finances of our church are in a healthy place coming through this year says a lot about just the character and God's goodness to us in this past year. So I just want to, for a moment, just kind of recap some of the goals that we had set for this year and just tell you what God has been doing in our midst, because I really want you guys to celebrate those things. I think it's been hard to kind of keep track of a little bit because you've been in and out of church from time to time. But I'm just going to go through each one of our goals. Our first goal for last year was to provide practical life instruction in a communal environment. What we mean by that is like really giving people the tools to change and to move forward in some area of their life and do it in the context of community with others. And so we kicked that off back in January. If you guys remember last year, Justin did a series called The Mind of Christ. And in that series, for one, Justin talked about the process of his own healing and the journey he's been on, dealing with OCD, dealing with intrusive and irrational thoughts that he struggled with for decades. And he came and shared about that and shared about his own healing journey through that and really opened the door for all of us for just honest discussion on that topic and created a safe place for people to share their brokenness. And man, little did we know how much we were going to need some of the tools that he shared in the community that came from that in the months ahead. And I hope you guys all know, and Justin's not here today, how lucky we are to have him, to have somebody who's willing, for one, to work on himself that hard, but then to be able to share it so vulnerably before you guys. He's just a gift. So I hope you remind him of that. But then he followed this series up, that sermon series up, with a four-week study that we did on Wednesday nights here to, again, give you even more practical tools. And the response to that was overwhelming. I mean, these pews were filled with people on those Wednesday nights. And I want to say thank you to Summer for her expertise and also for Zach sharing his story during that time. So many people have gone into that, and they've continued with the support group we just announced this morning. So this is a year later, and we're still coming around people, getting people together, continuing to help them, because this is a lifetime struggle for folks. And so, and you're welcome to step into that at any time, but it's been a really powerful thing. So I'm just really proud of everyone of you that stepped forward in this last year and really said, hey, I've got a problem. Like, I'm battling my mind. And my health is not always great there. And I need some healing. I need some community. I want to move forward. And the work that you've done and the benefit that's been to the people around you, I just want to applaud you for that. It's powerful stuff. So our second goal was to develop a long-term plan for youth staffing and vision for that. So to that end, we gathered up about 20 folks back in last February in the church basement on a Saturday morning, folks who are connected and involved with youth here, maybe some Young Life leaders, some folks that have served here, people that had teenagers that are in church here or elementary kids that are going to be coming up through the ranks. And we just kind of looked at kind of the history of our church in terms of youth ministry and how that's gone, and just listened as people shared ideas and thoughts. And then our board got together and really kind of formulated some thoughts on where we want to go in the year ahead with that, and really on a long term. And that led to a couple things. One is hiring Kenzie Miller. She's awesome, by the way. She comes from a great family, I've heard. But she's been our middle school director now for almost a year, and just brings so much passion and energy and enthusiasm to that age group. And I know that because I hear it in my basement all the time. So we brought her on part-time. And then the other conversation that came out of that was just a need to hire a full-time high school person. We've actually, our board talked about trying to find a worship director and high school person together as kind of one job. And so that's a very unique skill set, people that can do both those things. And so we had a couple of different interviews. I did Zoom interviews with some folks and just wasn't clicking, and we were just kind of continuing to wait. Until July was the first time we connected with Kenny. He was serving at a church in Montana, but he's from Rosendale. So it just took us a while to connect with him, but we interviewed him in July, and he started on September 1st. And to say that we're lucky to have found him is an understatement. Kenny, as you can see on Sunday morning, and those of you that have high schoolers, is just doing a great job. He's a great fit culturally for our church, and he's actually the first person that we hired outside of Wellspring ever. So it was a little bit of a risk for us to bring in somebody who hadn't kind of been a part of our church family to do that job, and he has just fit right in. And I really believe, so looking forward with Kenny and Kenzie in the mix, that our children's stuff, our youth stuff, is really set up for success for many years to come. So we're excited about that. And really the fact that we were hiring staff in the middle of a pandemic tells you a little bit about our next goal that I want to share with you, which is super exciting. Our third goal for 2020 was this: to increase our giving to fund and support relational missions and global care initiatives. Now, you know, I'm a coach, and I also have a staff, and we set goals. And one of the things we do with our staff is like, hey, if we get into this, so we set goals for 4 months. You know, I was like, hey, if we get a couple months in and, you know, we feel like we need to make an adjustment to the goal in some way, let's do that, you know. This was one that we could have said, yeah, this isn't going to work out this year, right? But y'all, you guys killed this goal. I mean, crushed it. And I'm going to share some specific numbers with you here in a moment. But it really kind of began back in kind of April-ish time when we got our first checks from the government. And it's like some of you, because I had a job that I felt fairly secure about. Some of you guys were in professions where you weren't really worried about your job going away. I honestly didn't need that money to pay my bills or to get by. And so I challenged us as a church community. I said, you know, would you guys consider giving some of that stimulus check to eternal things, to things that we can come alongside some ministries, some people that might struggle during this time, to really be a benefit to them? And you guys just stepped up in crazy ways. So just through those checks, continued generous giving throughout the year, we were able to come alongside multiple nonprofits, support some Wellspring folks that are doing stuff overseas as well, and families going through adoption. So in addition to what we already normally give to Young Life, to Care Portal, to all kinds of different ministries on a yearly basis, in addition to that, we were able to give away $49,000. And I want you to go ahead and put up on the screen all the different things that kind of got money. And that doesn't even include the Advent giving that we just did. So it's going to be north of $60,000 probably by the time we're done with Advent as well. And that's just overwhelming, guys. So can you all just applaud God for that? And one of the things that I, you can go ahead and take that down. One of the things I love about our board and our staff here, you know, is that we've got decisions of what to do with money when we have it, right? And we could just hoard that money. we could, you know, buy fancier whatever around here. But the question that we often ask is just, you know, who can we bless? Who can we come alongside? What other ministries in town is God using and doing incredible things, but they just might need a little wind in their sails right now? How can we bless them? And I'm telling you what, like when the Crossing lost their funding from Mosaic, and they're the only homeless, you know, male and female, you know, game in town, to be able to come alongside them and say, man, here's some money to help you. We love and support what you're doing, or Young Life, or Sisters of Solstice. I mean, this is Solstice, Solace. That's kind of the new tongue twister that I've heard a lot lately, is Sisters of Solstice. And so now it's in my head. Sorry about that, Stacy. But guys, it's been incredible. And I don't know what else really to say. I mean, I'm just blown away by it. But besides this, is that that spirit just pleases God. God is so pleased, guys, with your hearts. And just that generosity is growing in you. And I just want to encourage you to just continue with that generous spirit, because I think it reflects the self-sacrificial and giving nature of Christ. And we are here to be his ambassadors and to reflect the things that he is about. And it reminded me of Paul's remarks in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you remember, Paul is going around and he's planting churches, all right, in the kind of the Mediterranean area, and he's going to these Gentiles, these non-Jews, Greek-speaking cultures, and presenting Christ for the first time, and he's starting these new churches. And while he's off on these journeys, kind of the home base back in Jerusalem, kind of where ministry really began, Christ's death and resurrection, all that stuff happened, the Jews, the Jewish-speaking Christians there are under persecution, and they're really suffering a lot. And so Paul is going to these new churches, brand new Christians that he's just, you know, helped convert and establish church. And he's saying, guys, can we take up an offering for these people in Jerusalem that you've never met, that you don't know at all, speak a different language, they're different ethnically, racially, all those things. So I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's page 1056. Or you can get it on your phone. 2 Corinthians 8. And this is what Paul says as he writes to the Corinthians. He says, and now, brothers and sisters, this is verse 1. We want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. And so I just want to say to you guys, y'all exceeded our expectations this year in terms of giving. And I want to encourage you, as we look ahead to 2021, is to continue to grow in generosity. And maybe to ask the question, each one of you individually or as a family, earnestly asking yourself if your giving reflects the self-sacrificial nature of Christ. Okay, because I've always heard it said that it ought to hurt a little bit when you write that check or when that money comes out of your bank account. It ought to hurt a little bit. It ought to be a sacrifice. There ought to be this thought of, I'm not doing some other things in my life that, you know, my neighbors and other people who don't follow Christ and have some different priorities, I'm not doing some of those things so that I can give to the things of God and the kingdom works in this life. So, great job with that. So all things considered, if you look at those three goals, man, I feel really good about the ground that we covered. And obviously, praise be to God, because he was doing things and sending staff to us and that we couldn't have controlled and contrived in our own strength. So it's just been an awesome year. So I've been praying the last couple of months. And I hope you guys know that I really take this seriously. Like, I've been praying and saying, God, what do you have for us in 2021? Where are you taking us as a church? Those of you guys that know my personality, like, I'm a mover, and I don't like sitting around. I like movement. I like growth. And so I really want to make sure that we're never just getting complacent and never just kind of like, oh, yeah, we're doing pretty awesome. Let's just kind of cruise for a while, right? So to a fault, sometimes I can be like that. So I just want to share some exciting developments with you this morning and some exciting visions that we have for the year ahead. So first, many of you guys know that we moved into this neighborhood, started this church here for a reason, right? So we've continued, as the years have gone on, to develop a vision for this neighborhood, our connection with Edison. In 2015, so it's been almost 6 years ago now, we bought a house in our neighborhood up 21st Street here. We call it the Guest House. And we had a staff person move in, Sam Donahue, who became like our first director of neighborhood ministries. And Sam lived in that house, did ministry here for about 5 years, developed some amazing relationships with kids and families. But she left us last January to move to Kansas City to be a counselor and move on in her career. And so things have kind of lied dormant a little bit. And with COVID and all those challenges, we've really just kind of been prayerfully waiting to see what God had for us and who he had for us next. So we've been just kind of wrestling with that and writing up a new job description, and we honestly, I would say, between her departure and COVID, we've lost some ground in that arena. And so one of our goals is to kind of re-engage with our neighborhood in the year ahead. So last July, and see, these are things that you guys don't know, so I'm going to share them with you, how cool this stuff is. So last July, I was in contact with Kenny, just started kind of getting connected with him, and I was at cross country camp where I take my high school kids every year, and there's a girl that's a leader there. She was a camper there, so I've known her for a long time, but she was an intern with us at Wellspring, and so was her husband. And one day she came up to me, and she lived in the guest house when she was an intern here. She said, my husband and I have been praying, and we really feel like God is calling us to move to St. Joe and to move into the guest house and do that ministry. And I was like, well, isn't this a pleasant surprise? So we just stayed in contact with them. And this fall, we began writing kind of a new job description, some of the things we learned from the first time around, and stayed in contact, began interviewing. And so this past December, we interviewed. And so this morning, I want to kind of announce to you all that we hired that young lady and her husband, and they're going to start May 1st and move into that house. So if they could come down right now, we're going to get to meet them. It's Jack and Kayla Frazier. And yeah, so it's just been an interesting journey. Kayla, like I said, she was a camper at the camp from the time she was a freshman, so I've known her about 8 years now. Jack ran at Staley in high school, so he competed against my son in high school, and they were teammates together at Northwest Missouri State, and these guys also helped do ministry up there that we helped start up there and have been doing College Young Life the last couple of years, and we're both interns here, and so I'm going to let them just say hi and introduce themselves.
Hi, so my name's Kayla. This is Jack, as Bob mentioned. I honestly can't tell you who's more excited, if it's me or Bob, because he has been texting, emailing, FaceTiming, calling us, just so excited for us, and it's really nice to be welcomed in that way. But yeah, as he said, I used to live in the guest house, and I remember talking to Sam and just dreaming with her. I'm like, this is where I want to be. Like, I want to steal your job from you. So it just feels unreal to be here now. I'm very excited. We're very excited to enter into the community and just be a part of the neighborhood.
Yeah, hey guys, I'm Jack. We've been involved with Wellspring for about 3 years now, but there's always been like a little bit of disconnect just because we've always lived 45 minutes away, either going to school in Maryville or back where we're from in Kansas City. But whenever we're in St. Joe, it just felt like home, whether we're at Wellspring or just getting meals with people in this community. So we're super excited to be here. We're super stoked about the job and to continue meeting people. If we haven't met you yet, you can come up to us and say, hey, we'd love to have a conversation with you. So thank you all.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. One of the things I really challenged them with at the beginning of the school year was, hey, go ahead and start, like, being engaged here. Like, drive down from Maryville. So Kayla's been serving in our children's ministry. Jack's been, we've never had a soundboard operator. Like, basically the soundboard just sits back there while the service goes on, which is crazy. So Jack, his degree's in digital media, so he's been working the soundboard since then. And so we're excited to have them. With their leadership and just their commitment to the kids here, we're excited about the things they're going to kind of re-engage, which just means that a lot of you either are going to reconnect with Guest House and the ministry there, or you're going to do something new that you've never done before. So I can't wait to see who God kind of plucks out of the crowd here to serve our neighbors in the year ahead. So that's kind of our first big goal. In addition to reigniting the Guest House ministry, the second thing we're really focusing on in the year ahead is trying to launch a year-long internship. So this is an idea that we've kicked around for a long time, is kind of capitalizing off of our summer internship to see if there are some young people either still in college or post-college who would like to do a year-round internship with us. So Justin is going to be heading that up, and we're researching and connecting with a lot of other churches who've done things like this. What we want to do is just find folks that are ready and willing to be mentored and just built up, that have skills that they want to commit to using those in the context of the church, to give them the opportunities to do that. So we're hoping to get that kicked off next fall, so you can be praying about that and what that will look like for sure. And the final goal I want to share with you is something that I'm extremely passionate about, and that is to create communities of transformation. And let me explain to you what I mean by that. So our small group involvement over the last few years has really grown a lot. There are well over 100 folks involved in small group communities here, and Justin has done a great job with so many great volunteer leaders that are investing in this discipleship arena. So we basically just want to build on that foundation by equipping and challenging those leaders to kind of go to deeper places, and with this renewed focus on transformation. Okay, guys, the point of us getting together on Sunday morning or in somebody's living room on Tuesday night or Wednesday night is a couple things. One is to worship and honor God and to get to know Him. But it's also primarily to change, right? To be transformed into the image of Christ. That is why we gather. So it's one thing to come here or to a small group and to learn about Christ, or to come here or to a small group and get to know people and develop relationships. And those are both two very important things. But at some point, we have to leverage those things to really take a hard look at our life and say, you know, where am I stuck? You know, where am I stuck in these sin patterns where I'm not being transformed? And as a result, my life is suffering. The people around me in my life are suffering because I'm not who God has fully created me to be. I'm not living into that identity. And in order to get to that place, that's a different kind of commitment. And so we really want to help people try to take a look at what does it look like to actually change and grow. So over the years, I've learned that creating communities of transformation demands a lot of things. For one, it demands a leader who has some skills to know how to move people along that way. So we want to continue to help our leaders know how to navigate those things. Another thing that it takes is obviously a lot of vulnerability. And I want to define for you guys the difference between transparency and vulnerability, okay? To be transparent means that I'm going to share something with maybe a group of people about my life, but I have a pretty good idea, even though I'm being open and honest, that those people are going to receive that well, and I'm going to be welcomed and cared for in that group, okay? So I'm transparently opened my life up, but I've done it in a safe enough setting where I feel like they're going to receive what I have to say and not be, you know, shocked or appalled or push me out or whatever. Vulnerability, on the other hand, requires risk. To be vulnerable means that I share something in a group of people and I don't necessarily know how they're going to respond. I'm actually kind of a little bit scared of how that might go down. And so I want to continue to push us into those places of vulnerability. Because those places of vulnerability are kind of like those really, really dark closets of our heart and mind that we close off and are really scared to open. But those are also the places for the greatest potential of growth and healing in our life. And we've got to create safe enough places and leaders and other people that know how to carry people's burdens so that people can experience that freedom that God wants for their lives. And so I want to continue to push us into those places. It also requires curiosity. We've got to ask questions. We've got to be willing to come alongside somebody and say, hey, I'm gonna bear your burden with you. I'm not bury, maybe, right? I'm going to carry your burden with you. And I've got to be willing to allow other people to carry my burden as well and not just make excuses for my community. Oh, they can't handle it. Oh, it'll probably be too much. I don't want to burden them with my burdens, right? We've got to stop doing that and making excuses for other people. Okay, it also requires a ton of prayer. And guys, the reason why we also don't move in this direction a lot of times is because Satan opposes it, right? Because he knows the power of the healing that's on the other side of that. And he's going to fill everybody involved with all kinds of fear. One, maybe not even getting into a group to begin with, but then once you get into the group, you know, kind of always kind of like hedging your bets about what you're going to share, right? Or people even in the group saying, oh man, that sounds difficult, I'll pray for you. What they're really saying is, I don't know that I want to enter into this because it sounds like a lot. And so there's lots of growth for all of us in how we can dive in deeper with one another, because the payoff is life-altering. And so this Thursday night, Justin and I are getting together with like 20-plus leaders, small group leaders here, to really talk through what that's going to look like in the year ahead. And it's these kinds of groups that are already existing. Many of these groups are already happening, like this at our church. But those kinds of groups have led to some of the stories of transformation that you've heard from up front this past year in the lives of people like Matt Robertson and Taylor and Blair Kennedy and Jeff Bridgman and Holly McDowell. And so we just want to hear more of those things. We long to see people set free and experience the fullness that God desires for us. And remember, as I mentioned to you in the fall, is that every one of us has a redemptive story that's meant for the healing of someone else. Every one of us has a story of redemption that's meant for the healing of someone else. Somebody else needs to hear your story of redemption, but you've got to be confident enough in the healing process and of knowing your story and believe that God wants you to go and share that with others who want to hear it. So we want to help you in that process. So sitting in the pew last Sunday, as Kelsey did such a great job as taking us to a time of reflection on this past year, God was stirring up something in my heart, and really he's been kind of stirring me for a year now. I'm a pretty disciplined person, and I have my routines. So those of you that know me know that I just do certain things with my day or my week or my life in general. So most days, that includes drinking tea often. But most days I'm in the Word, I'm writing in my journal, I like to write my prayers down. I'm going to my men's groups on Wednesday nights to stay connected and to stay healthy. But God has been speaking to me that I need some new input. And the word that God gave me last week was the word agitate. And the word agitate means to move or to stir up. And as I was sitting here, the images or the phrases that were coming to mind was stir the pot, rock the boat, okay? So if you think about it, you use that word agitate when you do laundry, right? Basically, I feel like the Spirit's saying to me, get uncomfortable. Invite in some new voices, some new perspectives, some new spiritual rhythms. Try something different to hopefully gain new perspectives and be challenged in deeper ways. Okay, because I can get into ruts. I'm doing all the right things. But sometimes you need something new. A new input that's just like a new voice, a new relationship, a new friend that's going to ask you different questions. Or with their life and their story, that's going to challenge you in a different way. And I'm sensing that in myself. And so I actually had an appointment with a spiritual director this past week for the first time in my life. That was really interesting, and I'm probably going to continue that relationship. So, because guys, bottom line is this, is I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like him. As Paul prays, he says, I want to know Christ. He says, I want to consider everything else a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I want that to be your goal this year. Is that everything else in life would fade away, and what would bubble up to the surface and consume your thoughts and minds is, I want to know Jesus more than anything. I want to know him. And so I'm asking you if you would join me on that journey this year. I want to challenge you to serve in a new way. If you've served here for a while doing one thing, maybe switch to something else. If you've never served, try doing it. Or something out in the community. It doesn't have to be here at church, but get involved. Maybe give more generously than you ever have. Maybe connect to a small group for the first time. If you've been in one, take some risks this year to be vulnerable. in deeper ways. But I think, I personally think, this is just me. For me, I need to stir the pot in my life a little bit. Is that resonating with anybody else this morning? I'm just asking for a friend. Thank you. Good. All right. I like it. And I can't think of a better group of people to do it with. So I'm excited for what this year holds for us. I hope that we're together more than we've been in the last year. We're going to take communion as we head out this morning, and I think it's a great time for us to kind of recommit ourselves to what we want our life and our communal life to look like in the year ahead. What do you want to be able to say at the end of 2021? You know, think about how encouraging it was for their young life leaders to hear their names mentioned today as somebody who was significant, their elementary PE teacher. Wherever God has put you, right, as Kelsey talked about, like, be faithful where you are. Love people right in front of you. Like, recommit yourself to Jesus and to others. Like, love God and love your neighbor. Let's do that well in the year ahead. Some of you are new with us, so we've got communion cups, a little bit different over on the edges here. The white ones are the gluten-free. So as you are dismissed here by the ushers in a minute, you'll come up and you can take the cup, you can put it in the trash can there and go ahead and go back and sit down. But let's just take a couple minutes of silence here. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you so much for the things you've done in the past year in Wellspring. We're humbled when we look at just how gracious and generous you've been to us, the people, the staff you've provided. Thank you for Kenny and Kenzie and Jack and Kayla. Lord, you've provided us just unbelievable people. And you're going to do some amazing things in the year ahead. Help us to be faithful stewards of the things that you've called us to. And God, I pray specifically just for depth. I pray that we would go deeper with people, deeper with you than we ever have before. And God, we would really begin to see greater fruit, greater change and transformation. We wouldn't be able to recognize ourselves in some ways at the end of this year because we've dug in and we've gotten unstuck in some places where we've just been trapped a little bit by our sin. So Lord, use this time to reshape us as we come before you this morning.